Tonight I want to teach on 12 signs that a cloud of insanity has descended on the land. This is part of an article of Michael Snyder, then some things that I gathered together. So Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11 says, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees a sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees a sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, then he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, Thus you say, If our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Every minister of the gospel needs to be a watchman. And every minister of the gospel should be preaching about sin. But we do not see that in the house of God very often. You heard what is said. You can read it when you get home. If God has sent you to somebody and told you to tell them that they are in sin and you refuse to do it and they die in that sin, I don't care if you're a pastor or not, then their blood is on your hand. And when you stand before the Father, you're going to be held accountable for it. Amen. All right. Mr. Snyder says, Some would describe it as being given over to a depraved mind, and I would have to agree. I believe that the body of Christ has been turned over to a depraved mind, the majority of it. What in the world is happening to America? Recently, I was asked to describe what we are watching happen to our nation. After thinking about it, I have come to the conclusion that it is almost as if a cloud of insanity has descended upon the United States and much of the rest of the Western world. From our top leaders on down, people are engaged in incredibly self-destructive behavior and are making extremely irrational decisions. Some would describe it as being given over to a depraved mind, and I would have to agree. It is almost as if some sort of severe form of mental illness were rapidly spreading through the air and infecting everyone. I'm going to tell you that God has sent warning after warning after warning to the body of Christ. Now, if you did not receive the warning, it is not the minister's fault, it is yours. And you will die in your sin. God has given us space after space after space to repent. He's given us grace after grace after grace to repent. And still, people are still flaunting their sins in the house of God. Mr. Snyder says, virtually every day I am immersed in news and current events, and it can be difficult to shock me after all this time. But lately, there have been quite a few stories that have stunned even me. The following are a few of those stories. Number one, a 27-year-old woman in Maryland is hoping to normalize naked breasts by running around in public without any clothing on the upper half of her body. So far, she says that she has not been arrested and no men have tried to touch her inappropriately. Some of you men do not want to see some women's breasts. Amen. Come on. You don't want to see any. Why would you want to do that anyhow? Number two, it is being reported that sex roulette parties, now this is ridiculous, the sex roulette parties are becoming increasingly popular in the Western world. The concept behind these parties is that there is someone in attendance who is secretly HIV positive, and everyone engages in unprotected sex with others in the room without knowing who that particular individual is. What do you call it? Sex roulette parties. Number three, the obsession with body art in the Western world is officially getting out of control. A couple of the hottest trends right now among those that are into body modification are to tattoo your eyeballs and split your tongue. The splitting of the tongue has been going on for a while, but I didn't know about the tattooing of the eyeballs. A Catholic archbishop from St. Louis recently testified in court that he wasn't sure whether he knew it was illegal for priests to have sex with children. Come on. Number five, all over the nation, the colleges and universities are holding workshops and events to promote, I can't say that word, polyamory, as an acceptable lifestyle choice to our young people. According to Wikipedia, polyamory is the practice of or desire for intimate relationships involving more than two people with the knowledge and consent of everyone involved. That's been going on for a while, too, and I can't understand why you'd ever want to do that. There has to be something twisted up here. Number six. With each passing year, the level of debt slavery in this country gets even worse. The average American household with debt now owes approximately $131,000 and is paying out about $6,000 a year in interest. Number seven. A dangerous form of synthetic marijuana is popping up in many American cities these days, and it sends many of the users into zombie-like states. Investigators in Clearwater described a scene out of The Walking Dead. People slumped over in such a stupefied state that they could hardly move or speak. It was a patrol becoming too routine in Crest Lake Park as officers respond to a growing number of spice or synthetic marijuana overdose calls. Police say dozens of calls have come in for people who have had to be rushed to the hospital because of suspected spice use. Tampa medical and law enforcement professionals warned last week about a dangerous uptick in overdoses possibly linked to a bad batch of the drug. Clearwater investigators aren't ruling out a connection to the Tampa cases. Have you read about how rampant the drug use is in the United States? And a lot of it is in ministers, too. You know, I used to respect a pastor. I really did. I thought they were God walking. I have no respect for most pastors right now. I really don't. I think, how can you possibly take an oath to serve God, serve his people, and be sinning while you're standing in the pulpit? How can you do that? With the blatant sins that they do. And no wonder people don't want to come into the house of God. Why would you want to sit under a leader who's out there committing all kind of junk? I mean, you have that out in the world. Number eight, according to some progressives, identifying yourself as an American is now considered to be a microaggression and should be avoided because it might offend minority groups. Number nine, even though we can see what socialism has done to Venezuela, North Korea, and dozens of other failed regimes throughout history, young Americans are embracing it with gusto. In fact, one survey recently found that a majority of American young adults under the age of 30 say that they completely reject capitalism. Number 10, the Obama administration has just issued new guidelines that require public schools all across America to allow transgender students to use a restroom and locker rooms that correspond to their chosen gender. So 55 years after President John F. Kennedy declared that we would put men on the moon, Barack Obama is declaring that we will put men somewhere else where they have never been before. That's in a restroom with the women. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go in no man's restroom, and I don't want to get no man to come into the restroom I'm in. I don't care what they call themselves. Number 11, one anonymous member of Congress, identified only as Congressman X, is making waves by putting out a new book that explains what really goes on behind the scenes in Washington. The New York Post has published some new quotes from this book, and a couple of them are quite stunning. Congress is too polarized and partisan to get anything done by the congressman's account. There seems to be a complete disinterrogation of confidence in government. A fear that government is its own special interest, he says. Americans on an irreversible decline, and isn't that true? America is on an irreversible decline, and no one in Washington seems to care. When even members of the U.S. Congress start admitting that our nation is in an irreversible decline, you know that the party is just about over. Number 12, when you look up the term corrupt politician in the dictionary, photographs of Bill and Hillary Clinton should be right there. Now, I didn't say this. This Mr. Snyder did, all right? Bill has a history of well-documented sexual escapades that goes back for decades, and both of them should be serving long prison sentence for a shocking series of horrible crimes that goes on all the way back to the 1970s. But the American people are willingly ignoring all of this, and if the election were to be held today, it is almost certain that Hillary Clinton would be the next president of the United States. He wrote this last month. And I'm sure hoping that people that this isn't going to happen. We don't need her in office. Ultimately, we get the leaders we deserve, and I'm not just talking about the White House. Ultimately, we get the leaders we deserve, and I'm not just talking about the White House. If you look at Congress today, they very much reflect who we are as a nation, and it isn't a pretty picture. One of the big reasons why there is so much craziness in America today is because there is no longer a shared set of values or morals that unites us. One of the big reasons why there is so much craziness in America today is because there is no longer a shared set of values or morals that unites us. You would like to think that we should all be able to at least agree on the U.S. Constitution, but in law school I learned that courts routinely ignore the Constitution whenever it suits them. You know, whenever you really read what goes on in a courtroom, you're halfway afraid to get in trouble and go to a courtroom because the innocent are being sent to jail and the guilty are being set free. In fact, we might as well not even have a constitution anymore because hardly anyone in the legal community takes it seriously these days. Without any foundation to stand on, it is inevitable that our nation will crumble. The widespread insanity that we are witnessing is simply the acceleration of a process of decay that has been in motion for decades. I would like to think that we could turn things around, but at this point, I'm not very optimistic. What about you? You and I first got born again in 77. God told me we were living in the days of Noah. Now, and I know that we were living the days of Noah long before 77, and we know in the days of Noah, everybody was corrupt except Noah and his family, right? You know, that's why the Bible says the very elect could be deceived. And the elect is us, guys, sitting in the house of God, professing to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we could be deceived. In fact, I was reading something today where it says that deception is running so rampant in the house of God that it overwhelmed them to realize, you know, that God told them how bad it was. Number 13, pastors, leaders think it is okay to drink and get drunk on a daily basis. 14, professed Christians sit in the house of God and lust and do all manner of evil and have no fear of God. Do you think that there is hope for the future of America? Number 15, the great falling away continues as pastors praise open marriages. Let's just stop there. Do you think that there is hope for the future of America? We're not going to be totally destroyed, but we are going to have an awful lot of destruction. Because when God was prophesying all these things to me, he said, you won't be able to recognize the United States of America when he's through with it. Whole cities are going to be destroyed overnight. Whole states will be destroyed overnight. Where are you at in your walk with God? What are your values? You know, each one of us in your night, we have to stop and think, what are my values and where am I really walking with God? Is it God that you want to exalt? Is it, or is it yourself? Are you interested in the Holy Spirit being in control, or are you wanting to show people how much you know and how much you can do? You're going to have to get out of your flesh, and you're going to have to get into the Spirit. You're just going to have to do that, because I don't care what God called you to do. You know, you can abort your own destiny. God could tell you you're going to be an evangelist, but you might never, ever be it. You could not ever be an evangelist, because you have to start working on your own life. You have to start doing the warfare part. You have to start getting yourself cleaned up so that God can use you, because you have to be holy or God can't use you. It is just that simple. So number 15, the great falling away continues as pastors praise open marriages. Monique has been quite open about her open marriage with husband Sidney Hicks, but now has revealed she was the one who suggested the unconventional relationship from the start of their 10-year marriage. I was going to look up and see who she was, and I forgot to. I could not believe my ears yesterday when I heard Monique and her husband in a recent interview on the new program called The Preachers. Monique has been quite open about her open marriage with husband Sidney Hicks, but now has revealed she was the one who suggested the unconventional relationship from the start of their 10-year marriage. It was my idea, she proudly proclaimed during an appearance on a new talk show. This is on a preacher's talk show. So what was her idea and solution to a successful marriage? She was referring to having and practicing an open marriage, which the Word of God clearly defines as adultery. She even went on to say, there may be times I want to be with other men. The precious star said bluntly, before adding her motivation was out of respect for her husband. I wanted to be open and honest with the person I was going to spend the rest of my life with. Well, big whoop. Her husband, Sidney, was in total agreement with her idea. He's also not the controlling type, he added. Who am I to tell her what she can and cannot do, or who? Get out of here. What's even more shocking is the fact that Jamal Bryant, who is a pastor and founder of Empowerment Temple AME Church in Baltimore, Maryland, commended the idea and never rebuked it or tried to sway the couple from their decision. This immediately reminded me of the Church of Corinth and how they were rebuked by the Apostle Paul when he received report of a sexual relationship taking place in the church between a man and his stepmother. Did Paul commend the relationship? No, he rebuked the church for commending it and turning a blind eye to the sin. He then went on to give instructions to the pastor of what to do with it. Before I read this, somebody needs to go upstairs and tell those kids to quit trying to tear the roof down. I don't care who does it, but somebody please do. All right, so this young man and his stepmother were having a relationship. Did Paul commend the relationship? No, he rebuked the church for commending it and turning a blind eye to the sin. He then went on to give instructions to the pastor of what to do about it. 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. But you are arrogant. Instead, you should have mourned so that he who has done this deed might be removed from among you. For indeed, though absent in body, but present in spirit, I have already, as if I were present, judged him who has done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are assembled along with my spirit in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that the spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little yeast leavens a whole batch? Therefore, purge out the old yeast that you may be a new batch, since you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old yeast, nor with the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Now, see, they say, well, you know, if somebody's immoral in the house of God, and you know, and I was told this, and I went along with this, really, to tell you the truth, if they're immoral, you know, leave them in the church and just keep ministering love to them and just keep preaching the truth to them, and they'll change. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. They just think you're saying, hey, they think we're putting a stamp of approval on their sin And they just keep right on doing it. And they, in fact, they flaunt it in your face. And, you know, and thinking, what are you going to do about it? Well, you know what? You're about ready to find out what God's going to do about it. And he's going to use the people in the house of God to do it. He's tired of the tares being sitting with the wheat and destroying the whole house of God. The part of all this that sickens me is the fact that this was broadcast on national television and has set an example to other believers to follow. That's exactly what it did. And to top it off, a pastor stamps his approval of it. How long will the church continue to allow this type of leaven to continue to spread in the body? Surely the falling away is picking up speed as we speak. You get these pastors on national TV, they say and do the dumbest things, and then everybody believes, oh, well, that's the way this should be. No, that's not the way it should be. The way it should be is the way the Word of God said it should be. Okay, number 16, married lesbian ordained as Methodist bishop. And they said they were led by the Holy Spirit to do this. Bishop Karen Olivet, the first openly gay bishop in the United Methodist Church, kneels during the consecration service held on July 16, 2016, at Paradise Valley United Methodist Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. The western jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church consecrated a married lesbian bishop in a move that could split the denomination. Greater Northwest Episcopal Area Bishop Grant claims the Holy Spirit led the move that the church bylaws expressly forbid. Their bylaws said don't do this, but they claimed the Holy Spirit, it could have been the devil Holy Spirit, came in there and told them that they should do it. We understand there may be some political implications, but in our mind, this was the best person, is what they're saying. It was not a question of sexual orientation. It was a question of who was the best spiritual leader. The body spoke and said, yes, this is the one. Come on. Yet the denomination's book of discipline cites self-avowed practicing homosexuals are not to be certified as candidates, ordained as ministers, or appointed to serve in the United Methodist Church. You know, it's a shame, but I don't know, 10 years or so ago, I knew a homosexual who was ordained in the Methodist Church and then allowed to preach. And I said, but you know, that's not in the Word. You can't do that. You interpret the Bible the way you want to interpret. I will interpret the way I want to interpret. Please don't ever talk to me about this again when you're around me. So I didn't. They can interpret the Bible anywhere they want to, but it's going to take them to hell. And, you know, they don't want me to talk to them about it to try to get them saved. That's fine. Both homosexuals, one has died of HIV and the other one's on their deathbed. But the Bible says the homosexual is going to go to heaven, according to what they told me. The Wesleyan Covenant Association, a group of evangelical and conservative pastors, is meeting in Chicago in the fall to decide the future and if they'll form a brand new denomination. Someone close to the matter who asked not to be identified told Charisma News the Judicial Council of the Methodist Church has to invalidate her election or risk losing evangelicals. Well, I'd lose the evangelicals, wouldn't you? Come on. The source close to the situation tells Charisma News mainliners are not principled and just want to keep the peace. Mainliners now are not principled and just want to keep the peace. Evangelicals are standing on scripture. And progressiveness just want their way no matter what. And that's about the way you break it down, isn't it? Number 17, starting in second grade. Now, I think this is ridiculous. I'm glad I'm homeschooling Gabriel. Starting in second grade, students must be taught about diverse family types in a positive way and must accept that having families with children deprived of a married mother and father is a good thing. Then in fourth grade, they must learn about the redefinition of marriage and therefore must accept that marriage has nothing to do with children and families. It is merely a lifestyle choice for adults. This is what your children are going to be taught in school. By high school, the focus is on the right to create one's own sexual identity and how people have been doing that throughout history. That's why we need to get a Christian school going here. Joel chapter 2, 1 and 2 says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been or nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. God has been having this church blow that trumpet ever since we started this church. He keeps giving that scripture over and over. And that's why I preach the way I do, because I am supposed to be telling you, you need to get it together or you're lost. You know, God didn't call a church so you could sit in there and be told it's all right to do the things you're doing and go to hell. You're in a church to learn that what you're doing is wrong. You know, if you're living a wrong lifestyle, that what you're doing is wrong, and you're not going to go to heaven, but you're going to go to hell. But the body of Christ doesn't want to do that because that's not a popular message. You know, they want to keep their people. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't want to keep you. If you want to serve Satan, then there's the door, and I wish you all the best. But I don't want you corrupting me. Are you listening? Our lifestyles are not right, and it shouldn't be that way. Joel 2:15 and 20 says, blow the ram's horn trumpet in Zion. This is a message, how the Message Bible says it. Declare a day of repentance, a holy fast day, call a public meeting. And as I was typing this, I thought about, over the years, I always had my church on fasting. We was always repenting and fasting. We had more fast than we could think of. Get everyone there. Consecrate the congregation. Make sure the elders come. But bring in the children too. Even the nursing babies. Even men and women on their honeymoon. Interrupt them and get them there. Between sanctuary entrance and altar, let the priests, God's servants, weep tears of repentance. Let them intercede. Have mercy, God, on your people. Don't abandon your heritage to contempt. Don't let the pagans take over and rule them and sneer. And so where is this God of theirs? That's what the world looks at the church at, and just, they laugh at us. Because they see more messed up stuff in the house of God than they see out there. And they say, what kind of God are you serving? At that, God went into action to get his land back. He took pity on his people. God answered and spoke to his people. Look, listen, I'm sending a gift. Grain and wine and olive oil. The fast is over. Eat your fill. It's not over yet, Nancy. I won't expose you any longer to contempt among the pagans. You know, God does not want you to go to hell. He wants you to get your life together, and he wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to be seated in heavenly places right here. He said that he wants us to go up to the third heaven now while we're still alive, not after we're dead, but he wants us to be seated up there in the heavenly places with him so he can teach us of his ways, and we can come down here and we can teach the people of his ways. But the body of Christ, you're not teaching anybody anything. They already know everything you're showing them. You know, you don't know what it is to live a sanctified, holy life. And how are you going to teach anybody else to do that? How come your mind is still twisted? How come all that junk keeps going through your mind? And, you know, I know God told me one time that people have sold their eyes to Satan. And once you sell your eyes to Satan, I don't know what you do after that. And he just uses your eyes to look at things that you shouldn't be looking at. Well, unsell your eyes, maybe. I break the contract, Satan. I take back my eyes. You can't have my eyes. I don't know what you have to do, but do something. Get yourself right and start living right. Verse 20 says, I'll head off the final enemy coming out of the north and dump them in a wasteland. Half of them will end up in the Dead Sea, the other half in the Mediterranean. There they'll rot, a stench to high heaven. The bigger the enemy, the stronger. I'm sorry, the bigger the enemy, the stronger the stench. I was telling my husband, I said, for 2 hours, you know, ended up being 2 hours before I came to church, I just felt like it was lost or something, and I couldn't defeat that thing. It just followed me everywhere I went. And I know that God's heart is heavy because the body of Christ is not listening to his words of repentance. And they're still doing their same old sin, and they're blaming God because God hasn't done anything for them. My husband and I was having a talk coming down here, and he got a prophetic word saying that. Then when he was born, there was nobody there praying for him, so the enemy grabbed hold of his ankle and took him. And, I'm going to start bragging about what happened to me. Because, you know, when I was born, my grandmother was praying for me. And when I come out of that womb, an angel grabbed my ankle. Come on. And she took me. I don't remember anything hardly in my past, but I do remember as a small baby in her arms, maybe 9 months to a year old, her coming to my home, picking me up and taking me to church. And I remember my mother waving goodbye as I went. And my mother told me, my grandmother said that when I was born, she's a special child of God, and I have to take her to the church every time the doors open. And until my grandmother died, she took me to church every church service. I don't care what was going on. I went to church with her. So I'm proud of the fact that I had a praying grandmother who prayed for me. And when I was born, an angel grabbed my ankle, not the devil. I feel sorry for people that didn't have that. I really do. And I'm sorry that the enemy grabbed your ankle. But, you know, God has made a way of escape for everybody to escape. He really has. And I know that from what they say about deliverances, it's all kind of fragmented parts or something like that, or souls or something. And there's a whole lot of junk inside of you. But you know what? Every one of us have that. I don't care who grabbed your ankle. Every one of us have gone through trials and tribulations through our life where we've been hurt, where we've been abandoned. You know, and so we have the same things that you who didn't, there was no angel there to grab your ankle. We have the very same thing, but we fight. I don't know about you, but I fight for my salvation every day. The devil would love to have my salvation every single solitary day, but I have to fight. And I have to really fight, not pretend fight. I have to tell him constantly where he's going to go and what he's not going to do with me. I don't give in to the wiles of the devil. If I did, I wouldn't be standing here today. Do you understand that? I mean, do you understand that? The reason why you're still bound in a lot of cases is because you don't want to fight. It's much easier just to give in and do what the devil wants you to do. Because after all, you're tired of fighting. You're tired of all the mess. Well, you better not get tired of the mess, because when you go to hell, it's a whole bigger mess than what you have right now. And like I said, I've been to hell 3 times. I don't ever want to go there for a lifetime. And God took me there all 3 times to show me what it was going to be like if certain people died. He took me there 1 time to show me what I was going to be like if I became a glutton. Come on, and I sure don't want that either. I don't know about you, but I'd rather fight and go to heaven. And I get tired some days. I say, God, I'm tired of fighting. I'd like to have some rest. Hey, you know, don't you think Jesus was tired of fighting? He fought the whole time he was on this earth. And what about you when Jesus hanging on the cross? What if he just said, he could have done this. He could have called that legion of angels to come and get him off that cross. He could have called the legion of angels. They would have come and protect and kept him getting that beat and everything else. But he went through it so that you and I could one day sit in heavenly places. You know, you as parents, when you stand before God, told me this one time, he said, every child I've given you to raise, when you stand before me, you're going to be held accountable for how they turned out. You know, okay, so if I taught them the Christian way all the time and they went bad, I'm not going to be accounted for that, but I'm going to be held accountable for how I raised them up to the point they decided to go astray. So you parents in here, when you stand before God, you're not going to have any excuse of why you didn't lead your kids in a godly way. You're just not going to. And you know what really bothers me is how men and women in the house of God molest their children. I can't deal with that. That really bothers me. I look at young, innocent children, and I think, how can a man or a woman, because it happens both, I found out, use a child like this? Sick, depraved mind. Yes, the world is depraved. Minds are depraved to do things like that. And I know it's demonic. Demons are controlling you. But my Lord, if you're sitting in the house of God, there is a way of escape. You don't have to do that. You just really don't. So Joel 2:15 says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Nobody should ever look at you and say, where is your God? You know, another thing that's really bothered me is how men can't have sex. And now I hear it's women too. So they got a pill that's going to destroy your mind. You know, and now they have the pill that the same one that, where you can have sex is now supposed to refresh your mind. Get out of here. You know, why don't you let your body take its normal course? All right, so if something abnormal is gone along with it, why, what is in you that thinks you have to have sex until you're 150? I'm serious about this. Serious as a heart attack. What is wrong with you that you think that because you don't have sex, you're dead? It's your mind that's depraved, and the enemy's working on that depravity of your mind because he's trying to destroy you. If you read the after effects of all that junk, it's killing you. But they're selling millions of those pills. A man used to come to my house. He said, I tell my girlfriend, if you want to have sex, tell me an hour beforehand so I can take my pill. I thought, dear Lord, get out of here. You know, come on. This is what's and this person goes to church too. This is what's happening in the house of God. Should never be. It should never be. Should never be. You know, and how the marriages are breaking up because, oh, you know, this you silly girl, you saw this man. Oh, he's a mighty man of God. Boy, I gotta have him. Gotta have him. Gotta have him. Gotta have him. But you never looked past the mighty man of God. You never saw that he had flaws. And you married him, now you can't stand him, and you want to get rid of him and don't know how to do it. Come on. Same way with a woman. I mean, you're men with women. I got to have that woman, I got to have that woman, got to have that woman. And you get her, oh, wasn't everything I thought it was. So now I need another one. No, you don't. You need to go and get dunked. You need to get your heart right with God. And you need to start serving God and let God give you the man or woman that he wants you to have. Some of you women here say, ah, I got a man. No, you don't. No, you don't. You'd be surprised how you don't. The church, that's the title was 12 Signs That a Cloud of Insanity Has Descended on the Church, on the Land. It has. I keep saying church because it's in the house of God. And this is what's so disgusting, that it is in the house of God. And the word of God said, the blind lead the blind and both fall in the ditch. If you aren't holy, if you aren't sanctified, if you aren't living right, you cannot minister. You can minister to somebody else, but you're not going to get them saved. You're not going to get them free because you're messed up. I tell these deliverance ministers, you need to get yourself holy. You need to be living right. I'm on them all the time. Because God's unhappy with you whenever you're out there saying, come out, come out, come out. And you got the same devil in you. Are you understanding this? We look at our wife and we complain about her. And if you really looked in the mirror and looked at yourself, you're just messed up as she is. If you weren't, you wouldn't be fussing about her. You'd be praying for her or him that they would get right. God wants us to get this spirit of insanity out of us and off of us. And he wants us to start walking in integrity and being the true children of God that we're supposed to be. I serve Jesus, but I'm going to run around and be offended, and I'm going to fuss, and I'm going to moan, and I'm going to groan. Isn't that what happens in the body of Christ? Come on, saints. God is saying we need to get this together. Somebody said to me, I don't need the God you serve, but because look at the mess you got in your church. They're right. They're right. One time my brother said to me, he said, they called me Jimmy. He said, Jimmy, I can't believe your girls turned out the way they did because you live such a good life. And I know you taught them right. And I said, well, that's all I can do is teach them. What they do with their life is up to them. You know, once they leave home, you know, that's on them. But he said, he doesn't go to church, loves the Lord, never went to church in his life. Well, he did it when he was little because I took him. But all his kids are good kids. They're really good kids. He doesn't never tell them about the Bible. He never talks about God, but he has good kids. But you know what the secret here is, don't you? Because you're serving God, the devil's going to attack your kids to make you look bad. He doesn't have to attack my brother's kids because they're good and they'll go to heaven, but they'll never do any damage to the kingdom of darkness. Say, so you have to look at this. You have to look at the whole picture. And this, I told him this too, because we're really close, my brother and I. And I told him this, and he said, I don't know if I can quite believe that devil stuff, he says. But you know what? Who cares? As long as they're living right and going to go to heaven, who cares? And he loves the Lord. He talks about him and everything. But I'm talking to you guys tonight, and God's upset. We are not showing the picture, true picture of Jesus Christ. The picture of Jesus Christ. You know, you want young kids to, I want young kids to come in here. And I said, what for? You kids that are in here, you just corrupt them. I'm being serious. I would love to see a big youth ministry start in here, but who's going to start a big youth ministry? Because the young kids we have won't get it together. No reason not. Well, you know, my mom and dad's hard on me. Hey, you haven't lived my life. You don't know what being hard on. And some of you other people who are older, you can tell your life wasn't fun either, was it? Still serving God. All right. When I was younger, you know, I used to leave the house, lived out in the country, walk down the road, knock on the door, gather all the kids as I went. I don't know what you went to. It was a little Baptist church. And finally the pastor said to me, he said to Barbara, honey, you can't bring no more kids in here because we don't have room for them. He said, please don't gather no more kids up. But every Sunday I just have a whole herd of kids. We'd walk to the church. And this one Sunday I went to church, come home. Went to go in the house, the door was locked, and there was a little box sitting out in the porch. And it was me and my brother and sister's clothes. And my stepmother said, you no longer live here. I said, where are we going to go? She said, I don't care, but you can't come through that door. And I said, Daddy, please open the door. And he turned his back on me and started watching TV, and she shut the door. We walked back, and I had just served God and just took a bunch of kids to church. And we walked down the lane, the end of the road, and when they were all crying, and I said, don't cry now, we have to have, and I was young, 10, 11 years old, I said, we have to keep our wits about ourselves. And so I went and borrowed somebody's telephone, and I called my Sunday school teacher, and I told her what happened. She said, we'll be right there. So she picked us all up, I forgot where they took us to, but my two sisters were adopted out. One was sexually abused by the father, by the man, all her life. And my mother took my twin brothers. I was put in a home. You know, I worked in a home. I got a home, and I worked there. And my older sister had moved out right before that. I still went to church. That didn't deter me any. Throw down on the street, young kid, not knowing where to go, what to do. But the Holy Spirit, I know now the Holy Spirit gave me wisdom, gave me peace that day. And told me what to do, because in my own mind, 10 or 11 I was, there's no way I could have think of that. But I still serve God. Had to work all my life, the whole way to school, through school and everything, to keep myself. Didn't take my joy. And God still loved me. See, I had a Sunday school teacher that always told me, Barbara, no matter what goes on in life, always remember Jesus loves you. I make sure Gabriel and Isaiah both know that Jesus loves them. Well, I did Brandon and Trey too. But I tell them constantly, if nobody else loves you, if I even don't love you, Jesus will always love you. And that's what brought me through. I know that that's what took me through my years. So don't come and give me any reason why you can't be right. Don't come and give me any reason why you have to be the way you are. I don't want to hear it. I've been there, done that. I didn't get to where I'm at today by riding a Silver Star somewhere. It was a whole lot of hard knocks, but I was always happy. All right, one other time I got sick. My tailbone got infected. Well, a boy at school came up and hit me in my tailbone with his knee. And by the time I got home, I couldn't walk. My father was half a block away from where I was living. And I called him and I said, Daddy, please come take me to the hospital because I can't walk. And he said, I can't leave the party right now. He was with my stepmother. And he hung up on me. So I called my mother, who lived about 30 mile away, and I told her what was going on. She said, we will be right there. And so her and my stepfather came and took me to the hospital. But I had a father who I loved, and I still love him. He's dead now, but I loved him. I still love him. But he would not come a half a block to take me to the hospital. Did I lose my joy? No. I didn't. Did I leave God? No, I didn't. I still took people to church. So, you know, come on. Life is life, and it always happens. Why don't we live life to its fullness? Let people see Jesus Christ within you. Quit worrying about what you went through. I could write 10 books about what I went through to get to where I'm at today. But it doesn't matter. It does not matter. That was yesterday. That was years ago. What matters is, what am I going to do tomorrow? Or what am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? Those days are gone. You can't go back and recall them. You can't go back and change anything. And I'm no different than you. There were things that I did that I wished I wouldn't have done. I wished I would have done them differently, let's put it that way. But I can't go back and redo them. So are you really ready to give your whole self over to God, totally and complete, and crown your head to the soles of your feet? Are you really ready to get out of the dumb things that you do? And I'm sorry if that offends you. I really don't care. Because the body of Christ does some awful, dumb things. Are you ready to quit doing your dumb things? Are you ready to quit accusing everybody else the reason why you're not happy? Because, you know, we make our own happiness, do we not? And don't tell me you worry about your kids. I don't want to hear that, because I have just as many problems with kids as you do. I don't want to hear that either. I'm talking about your walk with God. Your walk with God. If you don't get your walk with God right, don't worry about your kids. They're going to go to hell. Because the devil's going to make sure of that. But if you're really walking with God, I was told Teresa the other day, I said, I'm so glad I serve God, because I have a big bill facing me. And somebody gave me some money. And I got on my hands and knees and thanked God, because it's helping pay the bill. I said, if I wasn't serving God, I don't know how I'd get this big bill paid. God always takes care of me, one way, shape, or form. I could give you testimony after testimony why you should serve God, but, you know, you need to determine that in your own heart. You need to quit feeling sorry for yourself, and you just need to get up right now and say, God, I'm so sorry for being such a wimp. I want to be that rock that others can run into. I want to be that one that when they look at me, they'll see something different about me. And they'll say, how can you? They possibly do that? You can do all things through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, everything I went through in my lifetime, as I look back, I know it was to prepare me for what God called me to do 30-some years ago. Because if I wouldn't went through everything I went through, I couldn't have done what God called me to do. So that's what I'm saying to you tonight. Whatever you went through was so God could take you to your destiny. What are you going to do with it? The altar's open. What are you going to do with it tonight? How many times do you have to empty yourself out before you're really empty? There's such a thing as self-deliverance. And you know, whenever you feel a devil moving, tell him to leave. Tell him to leave in Jesus' name. Plead the blood of Jesus over him. God's looking for rocks that he could send people to. Are you a rock? Are you a reed shaken by the wind?